Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about Simon Peter, the apostle, the first of the apostles, and the first the Lord appeared to after his resurrection from the dead of the 12, first one of the 12 that he appeared to. He is called the pillar of the church. Peter, his name means rock. And so we're going to talk today about Simon Peter. Now why do we want to do that? Well, we've been doing a sermon series on who you are in Christ, about our new identity in Him. And I think we can learn a lot about who we are in Christ and about our Lord's relationship with us by taking a look at Simon Peter and who he was and the Lord's relationship with him. Because apart from Jesus Christ, there's really no one else in all the scriptures we know so much about other than Peter, except perhaps with the only exception of Paul. And so let's take a look today at this apostle, at Simon Peter, that we might understand better who you are in Jesus Christ and about our Lord's relationship with us. So, and I thought we could start with Mark chapter 1, the beginning of Mark's gospel. Verse 16 reads, "And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." So what can we learn about Simon Peter already? He was a fisherman, and he was in the company of fishermen. What kind of a man was he? Well, he grew up in Bethsaida. That was his city. It was a small town on the Sea of Galilee. And he grew up on the shores of the lake. And he was a man of the earth and a man of the sea. He was probably a robust person, sunburned, outdoorsy. He was definitely a man of action. He was a very physically oriented guy. He'd been in the wind and the sun. He'd been on the waves and on the shores. He kept a weather eye out for the weather. He was a man who knew the spots for the fish, eh, Ron Nupel? And he knew the times to fish, to catch them. He toiled through the night. He saw many a moonlit sea. He rode in heavy winds. He filleted the fish. He took them and sold them at the market, and he put in a hard day's labor. And this is the person the Lord called to be the first of his apostles. He was a fisherman, and he was a common man. A common man, a normal, everyday Joe. And he was a man, you could say, a fisherman who went to church on Sundays. He would be a man who went to the Sabbath every week on Saturday to worship the Lord. And he knew the Hebrew scriptures, he knew the kept the Jewish customs, but he was not a highly educated man. He had a rudimentary education. He could read and write, but hey, he was a fisherman, and that was his profession. In fact, we see in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John are standing before the rulers, they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and when they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they'd been with Jesus. And in fact, Simon Peter, we could describe him then sort of like a hick from the sticks, right? He had an accent. Everybody in Galilee had an accent that was kind of foreign to the people in Jerusalem, which was more of a hybrid sort of English, if you will, or Hebrew. That's why in Matthew 26, verse 73, when Peter is betraying the Lord, it says, after a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you, too, are one of them, for your accent betrays you." And then he began to evoke a curse on himself and swear, "I do not know the man." Now, we read that in English, and it doesn't really carry with it. I was going to try to do that a little bit better for you. And in English accents, you can imagine if this were taking place in London, and Peter and Jesus had come from America and the Bible Belt in the South, it would sound something like this. Hello there, old chap. You also must be one of his disciples, for your accent betrays you. I don't know what you mean. Golly, I ain't never known the man in all my life. What I'm saying is that Simon Peter was a common man. He was an everyday Joe, an average guy, an ordinary person. I think the beauty of this is the thing that God would teach us is the Lord Jesus calls ordinary, common people to be his apostles and to be his people. He doesn't call the super saints, the all-stars, the best, the champions of this world, but he calls people like you and me, just everyday Joes, and he makes something of us. He called Andrew, a bunch that were fishermen. Paul was like a professor. Luke was a doctor. Matthew, a tax collector. Simon was a fisherman. And Paul says, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful or of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So if you're feeling today like, why would God call me? Well, he calls everyday average people and then makes of them somebody. He doesn't call you when you are a somebody, but makes you into that. As he told Peter, so you are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Peter, which means rock. And secondly, God calls sinners to be his people. In Luke chapter 5, we read of the continuing story. It says that Jesus was teaching from the boat. He asked him to put out a little from the land, put out into the deep, he said to Simon. Let down your nets for a catch. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. I just washed all these nets, and I'm going to put them into the sea again? But he did what the Lord said. At your command, I'll put down the nets. And when they'd done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish. And as their nets were breaking, they had to call to James and John in the other boat to come and help. And then when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of the fish they'd taken. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. Henceforth, you will be catching men. God calls sinners. You may be thinking, why would God call me? Well, because you're a sinner, and you're an everyday, average, common Joe. And he loves people like you. And he says, I'm not calling you because you're perfect or because you're good. But even when you had done no deeds, done in righteousness, I call you by my own mercy. By my own grace, by my own choosing, I have elected you, put your name in there, to be my apostle, to be my person, to be my own son and daughter. And even Peter, even Paul himself said concerning him that Christ showed mercy to him, though he'd persecuted the church. And he says, it's a true saying and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So he calls common, ordinary, everyday Joes. And he calls sinners to be his people. But then he also calls quirky, weird people with multicolored, flavored personalities. We have as many personalities in this room as there are people in this room. And Simon was no exception. Simon's personality, I think, comes out more in the scriptures than perhaps anybody else, saving our Lord Jesus. And what kind of a man was he? His personality, he was impetuous. He was fiery. He was an action-oriented man. He was zealous. He was a born leader. He was quick to act and quick to take charge. He was quick to speak up and became the spokesman for the apostles. When Simon Peter loved somebody, he loved him to the full. When he ran, he ran. Even though he was maybe a little bit bigger of a man, I don't know, than John outran him to the tomb on the day of the resurrection. But when John is standing outside peering into the tomb, Peter, impetuous, gets there and bursts right in, like a bull in a china shop, to see what happened. And if you'll recall, after the resurrection, the disciples came rowing the fish ashore that they'd caught. Peter sprang into the sea. He was 100% in whatever way that he was moved. But he was also like a loose cannon on deck. He was inconsistent. And this got him into all kinds of trouble. And you can just imagine with his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, how Jesus, he must have tried Jesus' patience with this impetuous, flavorful, zealous, go-get-em personality, which was not always aimed in the right direction. And we can look at, for example, Matthew chapter 14. Actually, I'll read it here. It says, Peter saw Jesus walking on the sea. He said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. Peter got out of the boat, and walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to you, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? So Peter was the first out of the boat. Nobody else did. He walked on the water, was faithful, but then became faithless and doubted. He was a fisherman, and he knew the sea, and he was afraid. You have another chance for this all-star great Christian you may have set on a pedestal. Look at what he did in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Peter speaks up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was pleased. He said, God has revealed this to you, Simon Peter. Blessed are you. And he says, I tell you, your name now is Peter, rock. For on this rock I'll build my church. Great. What did the impetuous, fiery, zealous Peter do only a few verses later? Jesus says, now I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised on the third day. You'll never do that. God forbid. And he challenges Jesus to his face. Talk about stupid. He's taking on the Lord himself. But whatever Peter thought, he did. In fact, he spoke before he thought. He ran into things with all of his heart. It'll never happen to you. And after Jesus blesses him and says, wonderful, and calls him Peter, the next thing he calls him is Satan. He says, get behind me, Satan, for you're not on the side of God, but of men. Talk about a loose cannon. You guys have crazy personalities too. I do too. Look at the person that God called to love and to be his apostle and to be his own. And you all know what happened to him at the end. Y'all, speaking in the Galilean accent there. Peter answered them, they'll all fall away because of you, but I will never fall away. 100% zealous in what he believed. But what happened a few minutes later, they're in the garden, and Jesus came upon them and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? And then he gets up from his nap, which he shouldn't have been doing, and he's zealous and runs over and cuts off the high priest's slave's ear. Talk about a loose cannon. And Jesus has to say, Simon, once again, what are you doing? Put your sword into its sheath. I must go and do this. And then, after that, he's with the bystanders by the charcoal fire. He's followed Jesus to his crucifixion, or to his trial. And someone says, certainly you also are one of them. And he began to invoke a curse on himself and swear, I don't know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. So in other words, in short, he did not get the MVP player of the year award for the bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, World Series. He hit into a triple play. He was sleeping. He cut off the high priest's ear, slave's ear, and he denied Christ 3 times in the biggest moment of history. And so what can we learn here about Simon, Peter? We learn really that there's two people inside of Simon, aren't there? There's Simon, and then there's Peter. There's the man of the earth, then there's the man of heaven. There's the faithless man, and there's the faithful man. There's the man that Jesus met on the shores of Galilee, and there's the man that Jesus was creating in him and causing him to become. There was a Simon who messed up and sinned, and there was a Peter who was bold and the best of all. And I'd like to put forth to you today that there's a Simon and there's a Peter in each of you too. You got a multitude flavored personalities, but there's two nations warring on inside of you. Remember Rebecca in the Bible? She had Jacob and Esau inside, and she goes, "What's going on in my womb? What's going on in my tummy?" And the Lord responds to her, "There are two nations in there, and they'll be at war with one another." Jacob and Esau, two peoples. Well, inside, don't you feel it? Inside each one of us as Christians, there's a Peter, and there's a Simon, and the two of them battle it out. If you don't believe that, let me just tell you this. You're going to meet Simon sometime today. He's going to try to come out of you and be the selfless, earth-centered, loveless, doubting, fearful, looking out for number one kind of person. It's going to come out on you sometime today, or at least try to. And then there's the Peter inside of you. Bold, loving the Lord, a man of heaven who has his eyes set on the kingdom to come, who is loving, who is willing to lay down his life for the Lord inside each one of you. There's the one who says, "I'm looking after number one, Simon." And there's the Peter who says, "Jesus is number one." There's the Simon who says, "I'm afraid, I can't handle this storm." And then there's the Peter in you who says, "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." There's the Simon who says, I've never seen the world to come. I'm living for here. And then there's the Peter who says, "I'm living for the world to come, for I'm a pilgrim on earth and a citizen of heaven." Last week, I heard a sermon that referenced something about Simon and Peter, and I was borrowing a little bit from them. But I was thinking about my birthday, 40 years old this week. And I was thinking, the Simon in me was saying, "Oh no, what's happening to my youth? I'm getting older." And as I'm listening to him preach, I said, "Wait a second, that's Simon talking. What's Peter say?" Peter says, "I'm so thankful this much of my life is gone because I'm this much closer to home." There's two people inside of us. And it's a matter of you understanding that and saying in any situation, who's talking now? Who's acting? Who's feeling inside of me? Is it Simon or is it Peter, the one the Lord's creating in me? And if ever Simon says something, you put him down and say, "Take a seat. This is Peter's day." You played little games as children, right? Simon says, let's try it right now. Ready? Simon says, put your hand on your head. Simon says, put your hand on your ear. Simon says, put your hand on your nose. Put your hand on your eye. You all lost. Because you're not supposed to do what Simon says. Right? You're not supposed to do. So in other words, and I'll borrow this from the preacher I heard last week. I'm looking out on a whole congregation of you out there, and you're all, Peter's nodding your head saying, "Okay, preach on, preach on." But there's another Simon you saying, "I want this sermon over right now. I'm getting hungry. I want the Portside Galley." Who is in you right now? We got to say, Simon says, I don't do anything Simon says. I do what the Peter in me says. The new man, the new nature, the person Christ is forming in me. He's in you if you're a believer, been born again, and he's the one we put on every day. So make that distinction. When you get into trouble and you start getting afraid of the waves in the sea, you say, wait a second, that's Simon. No, Peter walks on the water. I'm afraid. No, Peter says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And I lay down my life for him. And Paul therefore says, This I testify, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Put off your old nature then, which belongs to your former manner of life, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. It's Peter, and it's the wolf. Peter and the wolf. You put on Peter. And the Lord's transforming us all the time. But like I said, you're going to meet Peter, you're going to meet Simon today. Simon's going to come out in you somewhere very soon, if he's not coming out even already speaking to you in your heart. But when Simon rears his ugly head, we can look at the Lord's relationship with Simon Peter and take encouragement for ourselves. For Peter struck out three times, hit into a triple play in the World Series at the Garden of Gethsemane, and at Calvary, at the cross. He messed up seriously, but the Lord's grace to him was such that he met him, appeared to him in the resurrection, and then a short while afterwards, when Peter, or that is Simon, says, "I'm going fishing," Jesus meets him where he'd gone fishing. He appears to him on the sea, and Peter springs into the sea, swims to Jesus on the beach, and then Jesus takes a walk with him on the beach. And he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Which I think means, do you love me more than all the things of this world, all the fishing, all the life that you used to do? Are you willing to follow me? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Tend to my sheep." "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And this time Peter was worried. He said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" But he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know everything." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Do you see the Lord's grace? When Simon rears his ugly head in you, and you sin, and you mess up in life, and you fail, and you are utterly grieved over it, the Lord pursues you. He takes a walk with you, and he restores you, and he forgives you. And that's what Jesus came to do for all of us. He came to make of us a Peter. He came to forgive us for our sins on the cross, to die for us when we were ordinary Joes, when we were sinners. He came to birth us as new people, and then to restore us, even while he patiently waits for Peter to emerge within us. And if you're struggling today between Simon and Peter, I want you to know, unbelievers don't struggle. Unbelievers just have a Simon, one nation. You got two. So if you're struggling with your sin, and you're constantly upset that you're not as good of a Christian as you think you should be, praise God for that, because that means you have a Peter in you also. And the Lord is patient, and he's working with you. And you know what you'll find if you read the pages of Holy Scripture? The word Simon appears 69 times, but it's almost all in the Gospels. Only just in a chapter or two of Acts do you ever hear of Simon again. But the word Peter, the name, appears 156 times in the Bible. And after the Gospels, it's almost all only Peter from now on. And in your life, I can prophesy the same thing. As you are with Jesus daily, the Simon in you will be less and less of a name. And you will be more and more Peter, Peter, Peter. So, in conclusion then, let me try this again. Simon says, put your hand in your ear. Simon says, put your hand in your nose. Simon says, put your hand in your head. Peter says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because we never do what Simon says. But Christ lives in us. And he is forming in us the new man, the new nature, Peter, after his own image. In Jesus' name, amen.